Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Well, how do I know he's going to keep his word? Because I've trusted him in character, ability, strength, and he's proven himself in the wilderness so much that I'd have to deny God exists to not take a step when God told me to take a step.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. We pray this sermon series has been a blessing to you. This series is entitled Mind Management. Let's go back into this series today with Pastor Rogers. This is Mind Management, Part 6. Let's get back into this series with Pastor Rogers.
When I take the bottle out of your mouth and you now have to get up and get a job so that you can be responsible now for providing, trusting me that I will meet every need of your life. A little groundwork there for you tonight. So, with that in mind, when I believe, it's the first step out of bondage. I take a step out of Egypt. When I place my faith in the Lord in the wilderness and he's feeding me and clothing me and taking care of every need of my life and showing me who he is on the mountain and so forth and so on, then I'm actually growing in my faith. I should be by the trials and by the test and the walk in the wilderness. Knowledge of God. By the time I get to the place where I'm ready to step in here, I'm ready to obey him no matter what he says because I trust him. This is where the problem started. And you find the answer to it in Hebrews 3 and 19. The Bible says, so we see. Now, you can go back and read it for yourself, but this particular chapter deals with the children of Israel and what brought them to the place. But ultimately, he identifies one thing that kept them out of the promised land. He said, but we see that it was because of their unbelief that they were unable to enter. They did not have. After all this training in the wilderness, after all of God exposing himself, revealing himself, showing himself mighty to them, even through the battles, even through the test, even through I'm thirsty and water coming out of a rock supernaturally. I'm hungry, quail flying through the air and they reach out of their tent and grab one. I want some bread and he drops it down in the morning, every morning for 6 days and give us this day our daily bread. All of that stuff. And yet they got right to the moment, even with the evidence hanging on the pole between two guys and the 10 spies that were with them, 12 total, that all confessed with one voice, there's milk and honey over there. But 10 said, we've got a problem. There's also giants over there. And then they said this, made this incredible statement, which was a mindset for them that kept them out. But we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. They assumed and presumed so much that they looked through the eyes of the giants and saw themselves. And assumed and presumed that it was an impossible task. Even, you're looking at me like I'm making this up. Even when they had the word of God and God Almighty telling them, march in and possess the land. God already knew there were giants in the land. God already knew there was going to be a fortress called Jericho. God already knew all of the battles they were going to face. He said, I've already given you this. I've told you I'm going to be with you. Go in and take what the enemy is possessing. This land belongs to you. And to this very night, Israel is still trying to drive out of the land the same old spirits of Anak and the Canaanites. Come on, somebody. They just changed names. They just changed names. I'm not against anybody having their property and the land that they need to have, but I'm just going to tell you, go back and look at it. I've done my research. Palestinians never had a piece of property, never had a land. And if you read that book right there, the little sliver of land that Israel is on right now is not even the totality of what God said they're going to possess. And rest assured, whether in time or in eternity, and you can know it's going to happen according to the word of God, God's going to give it all back to them and possess the land. That's God's promise. Well, how do I know he's going to keep his word? Because I've trusted him in character, ability, strength, and he's proven himself in the wilderness so much that I'd have to deny God exists to not take a step when God told me to take a step. Their minds never went beyond belief. They stayed in this. Even when they got right to the edge, I'm talking to you tonight. They knew God met their needs. They knew God had supplied everything, but their wilderness mentality, their slave mentality, kept them from going forward into the promised land. And I will tell you, I'm saying this in a prophetic word here tonight. Pace Assembly is crossing over. And you need to understand that things may not look the same in 2020 as they did in 2019, and I fully expect it not to look the same. And you better be prepared to cross over. Come on, somebody. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm just going to go to chapter 4. I want you to flip over there real quick and see what Moses said here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 1. I want you to get this because this is pivotal. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them." Somebody say, do them. Amen. "That you may live." Somebody say, I may live. Amen. "And go in and possess the land." Say, go in and possess the land. Amen. "Which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." It's your inheritance. I'm going to say it again. It's your inheritance. Imagine getting the call from the attorney after somebody that's a relative of yours had written you into the will and had given you massive amounts of property and wealth. And just because it was somewhere in another state, you said, forget it, I'm not going in, I'm afraid. I bet you wouldn't. Furthermore, I bet that if any of your siblings were around and they got the same letter, they'd be fighting on the hills of glory just to be able to get a little sliver of land. I don't hear nobody talking to me. Out of all 12 of these spies, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, believed in faith and trusted that what God said they could do, even though they were only two guys. And I will leap ahead to tell you, here they are at 40 years old when they arrive at the Jordan, ready to go in, sword in hand. They even hear the report of the 10 spies, and they have to quiet the crowd long enough because of their murmuring and complaining about the giants, that it got more press, it got more social media likes, that there were giants in the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, hold up, y'all. God said we could take the land. I believe we could do it. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to possess the land. But because that the masses of crowd, God said, I'm sick of every last one of you. You're going to die. And the only two that's going to get in are the two that trusted me. Now watch this, I'm jumping ahead. He was 40 years old when he hit the Jordan. 40 years later, these two guys had to walk around in the wilderness and watch all their relatives, friends, drop dead in the wilderness while they were going to church with them, wilderness church. They were singing songs, clapping their hands, ushering and doing all that kind of stuff and setting the tabernacle up and tearing it down and going over here and setting the tabernacle up and tearing it down. And God, listen, even all of that, God never stopped providing and taking care of them, even in their rebellion. Now, why was God still with them? Why were they still alive at that moment? This ain't gonna sit well, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Why did God keep the generation alive? It was not because of that generation. He had already written them off. But inside of them was the next generational seed. He kept them alive long enough to get the next generation out, and then the rest of them died off. That's an awesome illustrated example of the fact that when God says move, you better move. Say amen, somebody. Promised land thinking is different kind of thinking. When God spoke, they were to trust him. They had had all this time in the wilderness where God's showing them all of his ability, his care. He said, I'm true to my word. I'm faithful to you. I brought you out with a mighty hand. I pushed the waters up on the edge and let you walk across. Look here. Look, as I was with Moses, so I will be with Joshua. I hear him. Well, this must not be a move of God, because when Moses did it, we walked across on dry land. Now that Joshua's here, God said, walk through the wet right here and let them stand with the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan River. They walked on dry land. They had to walk through the marsh. But the same God was with them as he was with Moses. I want to say to you tonight, the same God that was with our previous generations is with you tonight. And you've got to make up your mind, am I going to trust God with forward thinking, future thinking, promised land thinking? He took them back to school in the wilderness. And let me say this to you. God lets you go through the wilderness first. So when you get ready to lead other people, you'll have the credibility through the things that you suffered yourself. I don't want to hear nobody talk to me about principles and concepts and precepts out of the Word of God who has never had their own crucible. I've had plenty of people try to tell me, I think you ought to do this, I think you ought to do that. Well, come and sit in the seat. Because when you sit in the seat and go through what you got to go through, you won't be as quick to be able to say, hey, I think you ought to do it this way. Come on, somebody. It doesn't make any difference in my seat or your seat. This is important for us to get a hold of, because God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, saved, just like us, and then takes us through the wilderness. Everything that has an anointing on it has to go through its own wilderness. He took the children of Israel through the wilderness. He took Jesus by being led by the Spirit. First thing he did, out of the wilderness. Listen, he came up out of the Jordan River having been freshly baptized by John the Baptist, and he did not give him, ladies and gentlemen, a ministry right away. He didn't give him a pulpit. He didn't give him Reverend Jesus. He sent him through the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. Why? Because the wilderness will let you know what you're made of. Come on, somebody. Let me say it like this. What you think you know, your wilderness will prove it. And everybody's got their own wilderness. Has anybody ever been through anything? Know what I'm talking about here? This is where you learn. This is where you learn responsibility. This is where you learn character. You get all that mess out, because when God needs you to stand up and fight the good fight of faith, he don't need you wimping out or faking out or being fickle or sometimey up and down. He needs you to be faithful. Come on, somebody. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're going to go to heaven, he's not going to care about your church attendance record or how much you gave in the offering. He wants to know, have you been faithful over a few things? I'll make you ruler over much.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.